Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, church family. How are we today? All right. Who got baptized even though they didn't want to this morning? Man, what a deluge. And I'm just going to say, I'm glad we have a new roof. Because y'all would have gotten wet in here too. Man, it's good to see you this morning. Again, my name's Keenan. I'm the lead pastor here. If there's any guests in the house, we want to welcome you this morning. Glad to have you. There, man. Look at our church being hospitable. And I also want to just share for those tuning in online, man, we miss having you in here. We're glad you're tuning in online. And also to those tuning in from Cumberland County Jail, glad to have you. Love what God's doing in there. You guys notice behind me is a little bit different setup, and we're going to have an interview this morning as we continue to press into what it means to be sent followers of Jesus living on mission. And over the next few weeks, we're going to actually kind of get down into the nitty-gritty and hear stories of what that looks like, instances that are coming up and opportunities ahead for us to corporately live into what it means to be sent followers of Jesus. And so this morning, there's a couple things that we got to get out in terms of announcements, and then we're going to jump right into the teaching. And so the first one is this. If any of you haven't been able to plug into a life group or are looking to know more about our church family or what your next steps might be, next Sunday at 12:30, we are having our monthly Connect lunch. Matt Osgood and his team will be meeting over in the Discover East Point room for lunch. It's free and it's tasty. And so if anything, just join us around a table. We love creating these environments because we know Jesus did ministry around a table. And so we want to do so as well. And we have so much content to cover, but we usually never get beyond what it means to walk with and know Jesus. And so if you have any questions or want to get plugged into our church because you've joined in the last few months, we'd love to have you at that Connect lunch. And also coming up, I want to get this on the calendar, and this is kind of practical to today's topic. If anybody's familiar with the Transformation Project, it's a nonprofit over in Westbrook that's ministering to men in reentry and in recovery. They're actually having a fundraiser event on August 24th at 6 p.m. in our student lounge. It'll be a night of worship, connecting with the mission of the Transformation Project. So if you'd like to know more about how to get involved in ministering to those guys and being a part of what they've got going on, they'd love to have you. August 24th, it's a Saturday at 6 p.m. in the student lounge. And so those are the two announcements. As we're going into being sent followers of Jesus, what I don't want us to miss in this series is, first and foremost, if we look back to the winter, what it means to be people of God's presence, this abiding presence, people that invest our time in things like chair time and quiet time and getting to know God through his word and through prayer, that it's that fuels our hearts to live as surrendered followers of Jesus on mission. That we're sent into our communities out of a place of remaining and knowing and walking with Jesus. And today we're going to hear from a couple that are dear to my heart, and they're going to share a little bit about what that looks like in their lives, that the fuel to send us is not a fuel of obligation. It's a fuel of relationship with Jesus. You see, when we spend time with him, we become more like him. His compassion begins to fill our hearts so that we're compassionate to those that, quite frankly, our society might overlook. Right, that in a culture of individualism and the self-help project and trying to elevate ourselves, Jesus actually, his ministry flies in the face of that and says, if you want to see me, you'll see other people. You'll see other people the way I do. And so I want to set us up this morning with words directly from Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. And much of this will be familiar to us, but I want to look at it in a renewed way this morning as if Jesus is speaking directly to our hearts. In Matthew 25, Jesus is using a few different analogies of what it's going to be like when he returns to find if his disciples are faithful. And so picking up in verse 31, this is what Jesus says to his disciples, and he's speaking to us this morning. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Amen? Amen. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. This isn't the inheritance that we would assume, right? That, well, surely God, it's all of the good deeds that I've done. It's the career that I've put in place and all of the righteous acts that I did here on earth before all the important people, right? The important people in the C-suites or the administrators or the municipal people or the people that have great power and wealth, they noticed me, and so you would as well, right, God? No. The righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Right, that it's when we see people and maybe their brokenness or maybe their poverty or maybe their nakedness and we have compassion on them. We don't cast judgment or we don't hesitate to draw near to them because, well, what would it do to me? I don't have time. My agenda has other obligations, but Jesus is saying when we engage, care for, clothe, feed, offer a drink, visit, we're doing it unto him. Many of us have experienced this in moments maybe throughout our week or in the past over the years, but have we made this a part of our everyday rhythm to say, God, show me somebody so that I see you. Show me the people, the least of these that need your love today that maybe only I can reach. And so what I want us to focus on today is one simple point, that Jesus sends us to the least of these. Jesus sends us. He actually commissions us. His love compels us to the least of these. The one who's hungry and can't provide for themselves. The one who's thirsty and can't quench their own thirst. The one who's impoverished and can't even clothe themselves. Or the one that's incarcerated and nobody is coming to visit. This is why we love you all at Cumberland County Jail. Is because Jesus loves you. And when we come and minister to you, we see the very face of Jesus. That through you, God reveals himself. And so we're coming for you. We're loving you. And so today I want to invite friends, close friends, people that I've come to love. Their names are Dave and Dolly Libby. I'm going to welcome them up to the platform. And as they make their way up, I just want to share that Dave and Dolly, I didn't meet them here at East Point. I met them in other capacities in actually the Transformation Project in Westbrook, both of them. And I came to find, first and foremost, their heart is for the least of these. So would you please just welcome to the platform Dave and Dolly as we share a little bit of time together. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
I did take note first thing that, man, does Dave not have the most fly shoes on? I was like, man, Dave, nice shoe game.
Brand new.
Hey, so thanks so much for joining us. And I just wanted to start a little bit this morning and just getting to hear a little bit about your story. I've gotten to know it over the years, but for many gathered here, this is the first time getting a chance to meet you. And so, Dolly, maybe share a little bit about yourself and then maybe Dave, you afterward.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone. My name is Dolly, and I am a follower of Jesus. I came to know him as a teenager. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. I grew up in Rochester, New Hampshire, not too far from here. So I'm not a true Mainer, but I have been here quite a few years. So,
we will forgive you.
Yeah. So we live in Windham. And we have two adult children, Josh and Sarah. We just welcomed a new grandson, Christopher, a couple weeks ago.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Congratulations.
Good stuff.
It's really awesome. I saw a picture, and he looks like he's changed already in 2 weeks. So, let's see. What else? I work at Hub International. It's an insurance agency. And I've been there for about 8 years. So,
fun.
Yeah.
Great. Great. Well, thanks for sharing. Dave, how about you?
Yeah, so
David, married to Dolly. We've been married for 15 years now, so it's been great. I want to say I met Dolly in church, which was awesome. And
not a bad place to meet someone. Yeah,
so God has really blessed us. And, you know, I originally from the Bangor area, moved down here in 2000, built a home. I work for a medical transportation company for basically Maine Care. So deal with a lot of different people. It's an interesting business. And been serving the Lord for 20. I have to say I wandered in the desert of self for 20 years. So, you know, and then the Lord got a hold of me when I moved down here. I escaped from some places I shouldn't be, and he changed my life. So, yeah. Oh.
Well, praise God. Yeah. Thanks for sharing a little bit. Yeah. And we're going to jump right into the abiding part, right? The presence of God. What does that look like for you guys on the daily, the time with the Lord? And man, how is that developed in your lives?
Well, I learned a long time ago that life can get pretty tough. And I know a lot of people are in different places in here. And there were many years... You know, I grew up in the church, so I learned Bible verses, and I went every Sunday, but it was for 10 years, and then I finally came to know the Lord. But I didn't really have that quiet time like I should with the Lord, and so I have learned that first thing with my cup of coffee, I'm with Jesus, and that's my time with him. And I pray, and I try... not to just recite, but to have a conversation with him. And I do also always start out with praise, because I find sometimes myself complaining and grumbling. And so if I start my day with praise, that kind of gets me off on the right foot. And sometimes I'll thank him for the same things, and then there's other things. And then I pray for people. But that's how I start my day, is with Jesus. I need to do that. I need his strength, and I read the word, and there's always something fresh and new. I mean, I've been reading the word for years, but it's amazing how you can read the same verse and just, you know, he speaks to you. And so I would encourage everyone here to do that, and because it changes your life.
Yes. I did not pay her to say that. But it's so true, isn't it? It's so true that.
Yes, yeah.
Well, we'll get into that here in a little bit. Yeah, how about you, Dave?
Very similar. We both obviously get our coffee and pray and read scripture, and but I have to. It can't be just a morning thing. It has to be an all day thing. It really is, because I find myself wandering my mind, and I just have to go back to the Lord and realize what he's done for me in my life, and just some of the things he's brought me through. So it's a daily, through the day. I wish I could just do it all day, but obviously we can't. But, you know, we talked about breath prayers, you know, when people come to our mind, you know, whoever that is, we just pray for them right then and there, just a silent prayer for people.
Yes.
And
yeah.
God really does hear those breath prayers. He really is. He's paying attention. So
amen.
I encourage everybody, the Spirit puts somebody on your mind, pray for them. So.
Well, don't have to be fancy prayers.
Yeah.
You know, I've always felt like my prayers are pretty simple and, you know, either alone with God or when I pray with other people. And that's just fine, because God hears it all.
That's right.
God hears the simplest prayer.
Well, I kind of got a little bit of a look in this morning. I came in to try to help Dave and Dolly get ready for this interview, and David was praying for somebody this morning before the services even started. And so I can just attest that God's done something in both of you to be prayerful people and seeking him. And so my next question would be, okay, so we're in this place of abiding with Jesus, but where has he led you to get involved, even in some of the teams you guys currently serve? Talk a little bit about where he's led you to, not like it's your own rap sheet, but what are some of the areas that you found yourself serving in as we think about the least of these in your own lives?
Mm-hmm. Well, we do serve together in several ministries. One of them is the Street Disciples, which we love. And it's just amazing to go out amongst the least of these.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes it's a little difficult. But when you see their faces, and I always go home blessed after, and then Mm-hmm. Cumberland County Jail.
Cumberland County Jail.
Hello,
we love
friends.
That.
We love you.
Yes,
we love to go to the Cumberland County Jail.
Yes. Yes.
It's wonderful to meet people where they are and when they're at their lowest point sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're always so thankful.
They're very welcoming and thankful. Yes. So. But so we do, as she said, a couple things together, the Street Disciples and the Cumberland County Jail. And we, there's a couple of, we started doing some stuff with Prison Fellowship, which, you know, we believe will be, it's just starting up in this area. So we believe that's going to be a great ministry for the MSP and for Maine Correctional Center.
Yes.
So that's just starting out. But I did want to speak to the Street Disciples because it is a powerful ministry, and we'll talk about some challenges and barriers. But through the experiences of that, I've just seen Jesus in people's faces. I can't help it. It's just so powerful when your spirit connects with another individual's spirit.
Yes,
it's just powerful. It doesn't always happen, but when it does, it's a real powerful thing.
Yeah. 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 And how about, you're also, you serve with the Transformation Project as
yes,
well.
Yes. I volunteer and, mentor and, we have a great time there. Good group of guys. Again, this is just making it solid that we are on the right path. That's what we need. We need to know we're on the right path and we can't do it ourselves. So by being with a group of men, that are all on there, maybe we're doing a different paths right now, but we're headed in the same direction, and that's towards Jesus. And it's so powerful to see somebody's life changed. Is just,
man,
you can't, it's your own testimony is one thing, but somebody else that you don't know and you've seen them change is by far a most powerful thing you can experience.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah,
so you guys are currently involved in the Street Disciples, which goes out on, you guys would go out on a monthly basis.
Once a month.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys are serving with the jail team that goes in during this service over to Cumberland County Jail on a monthly basis. And you guys are also involved kind of in the parachurch world, nonprofits with Prison Fellowship, the Transformation Project. You guys have also done work at Long Creek Youth Correctional Center right down here. And so as you can see, they look like your typical prison ministry people, right?
It's just.
But this is what God does, isn't it?
Yeah.
That God uses everyday, ordinary people, and you guys are extraordinary as individuals, but there's nothing that screams, I'm going in and I'm doing prison ministry.
No.
But it was it's a burden. It's a calling. And so talk a little bit about that as you guys have spent time with the Lord and all of these different areas you've served in and have begun engaging in. How did that start? What was the what was the burden? What were the first steps getting into being sent, serving the least of these?
I think for me, when I came to know Christ as a teenager, there was a change. Mm. A big change. And my mom told me a couple years later, she noticed it. She wondered what happened because I didn't really talk too much about it because I was supposed to already be a Christian. You know, I had been going to church for 10 years. But it was way back then. I actually wasn't a very happy teenager. And God has really helped me to have joy in Him. Mm. And so there was a lady in my church, and she was going to have five-day Bible clubs for children in the area, and she asked me to help. And I couldn't believe she asked me. And I said yes, and it was the most amazing summer. And I did it for 3 summers after. And I learned by telling Bible stories and sharing the gospel with children just what the feeling was to help others to go into these neighborhoods, and some of them weren't the best neighborhoods, and to share. And then I also went with a busload of young people to New York City to talk to people on the street, some street ministry.
Wow.
And I wasn't afraid. I was just so excited and talked to people and shared. And it was amazing. And so God just grew this desire in my heart, you know. And he also, I think, just placed in my heart, I've always just been drawn to the people that are left out on the outside. Those, you know, homeless or just people that are lonely or sad, or it's like I just can't stand it. I can't stand to see somebody, you know, alone. And so I think he just grew that desire in my heart and that love. And so, I mean, there's nothing better. And so as I learned that and I stepped out in different ministries, I learned to forget myself, you know, and we all have a problem with that, right? Maybe thinking a little bit about too much about me.
Yeah.
And it's very hard not to do that. But when you serve, God gives you that heart for others, and you see people change, and you see their smile and their gratefulness, or sometimes you don't, but you just, it's a wonderful thing, and there's nothing more joyous and more wonderful than serving God and then losing yourself in others, whatever your ministry is.
Amen.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
David, how about you? Where did the burden begin?
When I moved down here in 2000, I ended up volunteering at Long Creek, and that's a youth center over here, and you've probably heard it in the news. Lots of strife there, and I met a man there that was teaching the kids how to play guitar, and he would take their story and he would make it into a song. And it was so powerful, it was so powerful. So I ended up doing Bible studies with him for 2 or 3 years, and I kind of fell in love. That's where I really started doing the prison ministry, because I recognized in these young people that that each one of them could have been me. I just happened to either not get caught or make a choice that didn't get me in jail. So it was just like, this could be me, or it could be now as I get older, this could be my son. And one thing I'll say is that I know that I can't change what has happened in their life in the back, in previous, but what I can do is be part of their future and what God's going to do in their future. So I don't look at what they've done, because it's really easy to shut them down. If you know what they've done, you know what they've done. And but I just don't look at that. Just like God does, just like Jesus does with us. He doesn't look back, he looks forward. And so that's what I try to do. I just try to do that. And it's not always easy when you know things. And so we try to separate ourselves from that and look forward and just bless them forward. So.
Wow. And so you took up the invitation and learned.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Feel free to clap. And so it's through a really personal invitation for somebody to say, hey, just jump in. Same thing with you, Dolly, right? That somebody asked you to join and you simply said yes. Yeah. And sometimes it doesn't take this mountaintop moment where God says, there's a thus saith the Lord, you must do. It's a matter of somebody saying, hey, would you consider?
Exactly.
And having the courage sometimes to just say yes, because sometimes it's not easy, right? So Street Disciples, what time are you guys out on the streets?
9.
Roll calls 9. So I'm sure come 7:30, 8 o'clock on a Friday night, you're so excited, right? You're just eager. You're dressing up in that wonderful blue uniform in the mirror and saying, man, I look good.
And
I can't wait.
And don't forget the hat.
The hat.
The blue hat.
We don't forget the hat. I'm trying to work with Kurt on an apparel upgrade. But there's this element of there's some challenges and burdens. Talk about that. That makes it real and human when, man, it's not necessarily the thing you want to do, but you feel like you need to do it. Talk about that tension.
Yeah. I think with any ministry, and definitely Street Disciples, you don't feel like doing it, right? Mm. You feel like staying, especially on a cold winter's night, you want to stay in your comfy jam jams, in your home where it's warm, you know, and you're like, oh, you know, but, and then you talk to yourself. You have a little talk with yourself and like, this is important. I have a commitment. Jesus is counting on me. There's somebody out there. So you get your blue uniform on and your hat, you know, or you get ready for your ministry, whatever it is, and you just, you know, give yourself a kick in the butt, and you're like, you do. And I always think about, I know every time when it's over and I'm on our way home, I'm just so thankful and I'm so full of joy to see how God has used our team.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we don't always see the results, but we will one day in heaven. Someday we're going to have it. An awesome party in heaven.
Yes.
All of us. And we're going to see all the results. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a big old sheep party. That's right.
Yeah.
So I can imagine you, Dolly, looking yourself in the mirror and saying, I'm a sheep. Yeah. I'm a sheep. I'm not a goat. I'm a sheep. Right? And so there's this talking yourself up. And just know, as you're going out in those cold winter nights, I'm in my jam jams. praying for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of these days, you guys will drag me out there too. How about you, Dave? There's all sorts of areas you guys serve. It's not just street disciples.
Yes.
There's some hard moments where you go, am I really stepping into this?
I also say with street disciples, there's challenges there for sure. Getting up and going out. Once you're out, you're it's not too bad. But I think some of the challenges for myself is, you know, you're seeing people that they're not ready to change yet, and it's hard. It's hard to see that person, and you may see them again, and they're deteriorating, and it's hard.
Yes,
And one thing we want to like give them stuff. We got this in our mind that we give them stuff, but they can get a lot of stuff. So street disciples really is more of going out and just trying to love on people and to pray for them and to listen to their story. And that's where it gets powerful, when you can break through their, that condition they're in and get into more of their life story. And that helps you to pray for them. So there's the challenge is, you know, you may not feel, I got to say this, you may not feel that you could connect with somebody, but that's totally untrue. Anybody here could go out and you may talk to a person that I can't talk to. That's how it goes. You may talk to somebody totally different and I can't talk to them. So don't never feel that you can't do that. This is probably for later, but it is an opportunity for everybody. You just have to, you know, you do a lot of walking, but you know, you get to love on people. And another thing I'll say is that if we don't have many interactions in the night, it doesn't matter, because people see us out there. They see the blue, and we become a safe place. So that time that one person is in a crisis, and we've had this happen, they can come to us and feel safe. That's worth it all. So it's not always thinking you're going to get this done and do that. You just release it to the Lord and let it unfold. And our image is a safe place, and that's what we want, I think.
How about just to kind of press in a little bit? How about on the jail team front? Anytime that there's what might be barriers or hindrances in those moments that you've got to overcome?
I think you do. Sometimes it's hard to get up earlier and to do that, but sometimes I always struggle with feeling inadequate, and I honestly. Jail ministry, I go in on a prayer every time. I'm like, Holy Spirit, come, use me, show me what to say, help them to see you, help me to set aside everything and just go.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk in that room and you see these guys come in and they're just hungry for the Lord, or they're just sad or whatever, it's just wonderful. But I do, and I think a lot of people feel inadequate, whatever ministry. And we have to know, I was reading a verse in Thessalonians this week in my devotion. God is faithful, and it says he will do it. If you take that, just take that baby step. He will do it.
God is faithful. So, he will do it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think we need to know more or be better or not have anything going bad in our lives. And that's just not true. God uses us as we are, as we know. And all we need to do is be available. And if we're going in, and I have to tell myself this all the time, if I'm going in looking to accomplish something, then I'm not going in for the right reason. You know, I need to go in with the being surrendered and saying, okay, Lord, I don't feel I can do this, and just release it to him. And that's in life, too, in general, when I step back and say, not to try to control the situation, it goes a lot better. And a lot of these guys know the Bible. They know scripture better than I do. Some of the challenges, maybe they try to take you down rabbit trails. You know, there's different things that they try to do. But if you just love on them and say, you know, it just settles everything. Love settles everything. I tell you, it's just powerful.
Amen.
Just be kind and love
them. They know if you're sincere. Yeah, they do. Powerful. They know you love them. Yeah.
To that point, there was a few years ago that the director of Community Housing of Maine, it's a nonprofit kind of commissioned by the state to help with the homeless dynamics here in the region. And he's not a believer, and he was doing a street disciple training. And many people were wondering, well, what's needed? Is it water? Is it socks? Is it food? Is it, you know, we always want to meet the tangible need. And what Colin said in that moment, the director, again, agnostic, atheistic, wherever he stands faith-wise, he says, He says, you guys don't understand, street disciples. It's not about what you bring. It's you bringing yourself.
That's right.
Right? It's your presence that brings dignity to these people that is far and above and beyond anything you can hand them. Because the material needs are met, but the one thing that can't be met is that spiritual need where God is looking into somebody and saying, I see you. Right? And that's what you guys do so well. And talk about looking into somebody to say, I see you, and seeing Jesus' face. Mm. Right? Yes. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Powerful.
Definitely, we're out there. Dave has said it a couple times in the last couple months. You just see Jesus in their faces, you know?
And
it's pretty amazing. There was one.
Sometimes it's hard to, you know, I had one recently, was just sitting on Congress Street on the ground, and I just looked in his eyes and he just looked back at me and I was like, wow, this is so powerful. You know, I didn't even know what to say to him. It was so powerful. You know, our spirits connected there, you know, and he, you know, we were able to pray for him and that's what we do. We see this a lot. Now that doesn't happen all the time, of course. A lot of times it's you know, you have some people that are just troubled and, but again, it comes down to just being kind and loving that person and trying to hear their story. And we saw a beautiful, what I would call love, and a lady was cleaning another woman's, combing out her hair, and I was just telling them, you know, that's love right there. That's pure love right there. For you to do that, it was really bad. And so, you know, there's just a lot of connections to make there with people like that. And again, we go out with not saying, you know, what are we going to accomplish? This doesn't work that way. It goes out, you know, Lord, what are you doing tonight? Pray that he goes before us, and he does.
Amen.
And he just allows the encounters to happen. So
it's
the same way with really all the ministries. You have to release it to the Lord and allow him to do it, because if you go in with of trying to accomplish something, you're not, just don't do that.
That's right. Well, so as we kind of close here, I want to, what would be your appeal to anybody that's kind of on the fence, right? Should I? Is this something God's inviting me into? That, and then also speak to my generation a little bit, right? All of our boomers will head nod when I'm like, my generation's a selfish generation, isn't it?
Oh.
Yes. Oh, and I think we're just, as humans, we're selfish, right? And there's life that kind of breaks that down in us. But talk a little bit about, to even my generation, a younger generation, as you guys look back on your life, what would be your invitation in this moment?
I would say just go and take that step. Listen to God's voice. Don't be afraid. Just take that step, and he will carry you, and he will use you. I do feel like I've wasted a lot of time over the years when I look back. Life goes really quickly. I can't believe I'm at this stage of my life. I don't know where it went. My kids are grown up, but it goes quickly. In James, it says, life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And really, whatever age you are here today, it goes quickly. And so start now. Use the time for God. Don't waste time. Young people in all ages. And, you know, we were talking about serving is fun.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of joy. You get to know those you serve with. And you get to, and you grow. And God will use you.
Yeah.
Just take that step.
Amen.
Yeah, and I would add to that, you know, you may feel you're younger, you may feel that you're not qualified, or you may not have time, but as Dolly said, time passes really quick, and don't waste, I wasted a lot of years, and get it now, get an understanding, get Jesus now, first of all, but get an understanding, you know, read about, if you're interested in something, read about that ministry, right? Pray about it deeply, talk to somebody else, do a little research on it, and then really just step out, because you can come up with 20 excuses not to do it. You can just say, no, it's not for me. It's just, but God is going to use you.
Yes.
Again, you got to get by yourself. I have to tell myself this all the time, get by yourself and just let God do the work in other people. You have, God places spirit in all of us, and he wants that spirit to rise up. You're not without the spirit. You have a spirit in you, so let it rise up. And let the spirit work, and you step back. And so I'd say, just go. Just do it.
Just
go and do it. Don't wait.
You'll
be blessed. You'll be truly blessed, amazingly blessed. Really.
Amen. Just be sent. Well, guys, thanks so much for sharing your heart and all that you do. If you could, church, just thank you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Keenan.
Man, they're special people, aren't they? And yeah. Some people in this room also know them as their life group leaders. And so if, on top of all of that, they serve a life group and try to help disciple people into the very same lifestyle that Jesus has led them into. And so as we kind of land the plane a little bit, I want to frame it with one passage here in the book of Acts that I think plays out to show us what it looks like to just simply be available as we go. And so in the third chapter of the book of Acts, this is where we're going to kind of land it in the first verse. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, and at 3 p.m, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And this is somebody that everybody heading to prayer would be overlooking, and they just walk by, and there'd be dozens, if not hundreds, of these people just begging. But Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Peter and John, like Dave and Dolly, I'm sure that they woke up that morning saying, "We're heading to prayer." But the only difference between Peter and John in that moment was they're willing to pay attention. They're willing to feel sent on the way. They're willing to see the least of these, and they see a man who for every day was set at that temple to beg. And they took notice. They restored his dignity. And they said, "Silver or gold we do not have, but what we do have we offer you in the name of Jesus. Walk." And how many of us are willing to step out on a limb into places that require God's power, where we feel completely inadequate? You know how many days of the week that I feel inadequate? Every day that ends in Y. And yet God says, "Just trust me. Just step out. Be bold enough to look somebody in the eyes and say, 'How can I serve you in the name of Jesus? How can I care for you?'" We need to be paying attention, because Jesus is sending us even to the least of these. The people that culture is passing by, the people that remain incarcerated, the people that remain unclothed, the people that remain thirsty, remain hungry. But at the end of the day, all of those things are material. What they truly need is they need the person and presence of Jesus Christ. But do we need the right credentials? Do we need the right pedigree? Dave and Dolly, they're sitting here, and we can see that they're ordinary people. And they took notice in Acts chapter 4, after this all happened with Peter and John, this is what the people took notice of. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Look at the works. Look at what Jesus is doing in our midst. Look at the people that he's calling us to minister to. We can be everyday, ordinary, unschooled people ministering in the name of Jesus. But what I will say is we have to live sent lives on mission for the least of these. The people who don't deserve it. The people that we can't pay back. The people that for us, actually, Jesus is going to show up in a way that we never expected. And so as we go into a time of communion, I'm going to ask Finney to bring out a communion cup for me. As we go into a time of communion, what I want to read is a psalm. Hey, thanks so much. I want to read for us a psalm that will remind us that Jesus, he saw us in the same posture we see the least of these. So I want us to kind of hold our communion cup in our hands and close our eyes and meditate as I read this this Psalm 40 slowly through the first few verses. And picture yourself actually, instead of being Jesus to the least of these, being one of the least of these. Somebody who didn't deserve God's grace. Somebody who didn't deserve his mercy. Somebody who was waiting in their mess for the gracious hand of a Savior. This is what David writes in Psalm 40. If you would, just please close your eyes as we go through this. David writes, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And he set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. You see, you and I, we were in our own slimy pit. We were in our own least of these situation. And it was Jesus, our Savior, Redeemer, that saw us in our sin, in our brokenness, in our pain, and in our hurt. And he stepped into our lives and he said, let me clothe you with my righteousness. Let me feed you with the bread of life. Let me quench you with springs of living waters. You'll thirst no more. And let me break you out of your bondage of imprisonment to your own sin, shame, and brokenness, and set you free so that you can sing this next hymn of praise that I'm putting on your lips, that many others will see and hear and put their trust in the Lord. So as we take communion this morning, we recognize that it's only by Jesus's body and blood that we can be redeemed, that we can be made whole, that we can actually serve in his name. So as followers of Jesus this morning, if that's you, you're welcome to this table. You're welcome to remember the sacrifice Jesus made for us. On that last night, he took that piece of bread, he blessed it and he broke it, and he said, eat this in remembrance of me. We take the bread together. And his cup, the cup of the new covenant, cleanses us from our sin, white as snow. If you feel irredeemable this morning, let me tell you that Jesus is in the redemption business. As David said, no matter what has happened in the past, God has a new future for you if you would come to him. And so this morning, as we take the cup, we recognize that it's his work that cleans us and sets us free. We take the cup. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much that you will come in your glory, as you said in Matthew chapter 25, that you will return with the might of the angels and the nations will bow before you, and you will be claimed as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet you will separate us based on what we've done in your name. You separate us based on our inheritance that we've received from you. The sheep and the goats are simply those who are in Christ Jesus and those who aren't. And yet those in Christ Jesus will be compelled to be sent to the least of these. Jesus, we thank you for the ministry you've done to us so that we can minister to others. We thank you for your Spirit working in us in our midst. Would you convict us to step out and serve those who the world just passes by? To be a part of the work that you're doing in the lives of many. To just be an ambassador of you and your love. Lord, we thank you. For Dave and Dolly, we thank you for their example. We thank you for all of those that serve in this church week in and week out, serving those who desperately need you. And Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to be obedient. We want to be a church known in this region as a church that's sent on mission. Lord, we thank you for our ability to gather, and we worship you in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.